Matt, we okay, so we have been friends for 2 years, which we just covered during the not recording section of this.
Feels like it's 10.
It feels like it's 10. You have, I'm so excited to have you on The Low Point because you have an incredible story regarding your medical history. And I want to, the way you've dealt with it, especially you're 28, you're my age, right? 28, 29?
28 right now.
Yeah, you're going to be 28. You recently did, which I'm so impressed of, and we're going to share it if we can on the YouTube, in the YouTube description, your TED Talk that you did at NYU Langhorne. Did I get that right?
Langone.
Damn, what did I say? Langhorne?
Close. Langhorne.
Is that like the Texas Longhorns?
I was about to say Longhorn.
Yeah, that's, oh my God.
Have you had the steak there?
No, in Texas?
Yeah.
I used to work in Texas quite a bit. And this, by the way, this podcast, what I love is like, it's just tangents because we just had Gabe Malik on, who's amazing, storyteller, comedian. Go follow him. I think I said that already, but maybe it was on the unrecorded part, but just in case I didn't, go follow him. He's great. This podcast is just becoming about so many tangents, which I love, but to go into, but we're going to get back. I promise we're going to get back to Matt's incredible story about his disease and what had happened. But the question was, did I ever have steak in Texas? I have had steak in Texas. It was San Antonio, though. And San Antonio, can I be honest with you? Not my favorite city.
Really?
Not great. The Alamo is overrated. It's very small. Remember the Alamo? I don't even remember seeing it, to be honest with you.
From The Simpsons, I do.
The Alamo, they do it in The Simpsons.
I think so.
Do you know I'm rewatching The Simpsons right now? Which is amazing. Well, really? I shouldn't say rewatching. I'm watching it for the first time. I've never seen The Simpsons.
What?
I'm such a huge comedy fan. I've never. It's really. I love it so much.
I used to be obsessed with The Simpsons.
Well, it makes sense. You have great comedy taste. So really, that makes sense.
Since I'm friends with you, yes.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's why we're friends.
It's really
our whole friendship is based on comedy. It's you. Our whole friendship is you just hyping me up and me just like
our same name looked exactly the same.
We really do. And what's funny is like Gabe also looks like me as well. We just had him on, and it's I'm just having people on that look like me. That's really what I'm doing on this podcast.
So maybe we are separated at birth.
We might be. I honestly have as much hair as an Armenian.
Yeah,
so
you really do.
I really do. Honestly, look at me now.
The beard
that is unkempt right now. To the naked eye, I look more Armenian than you right now, just based on facial hair alone.
You can come to Armenia with me.
Oh my God, I would love to. Have you been back?
I've never been.
You've never been.
But I'm going in September.
Oh my God, really? For the first time?
For the first time.
By the way, we're still going to get back to the state question about Texas. But wait, oh my God, so you're going for the first time. Do you have family there?
No, they all, well, from my great grandma's side and on my mom's side and my dad's side, their families were wiped out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh,
from the Armenian
right.
genocide.
Yes. Oh my God.
They were killed.
That's terrible.
So we're going to go back because for my mom's Christmas gift this year, we're buying her a round trip ticket.
Oh, my God. She's going to, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So we're going, it's me, my sister, my brother, my mom, and my sister's boyfriend.
Nice. Who I've met. They're very nice.
Yes. And we're going for 10 days. It's like a whole excursion.
That's great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you're going back. See where you come from. That's so exciting, Matt. Oh, my God.
It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be so much fun. I wish you the best, and you're going to have so much fun. Let's get back to the steak question quick, though. Have you had steak in Texas?
No, but I was just in Texas.
Oh, you were?
I was just in Austin.
Oh, that's right. You went to Austin because you went to go speak at the conference. What was the name of the conference?
So it wasn't a conference specifically, but it was for a nonprofit organization I work with. It's called the Infusion Access Foundation, IAF. And they're basically a patient advocacy organization.
And before we get into all that, what I want to do is for the people that don't know, you suffered from a disease called ulcerative colitis, which is under the umbrella, because we talked about this before the pod started, of irritable bowel disease. Is that right?
Inflammatory bowel disease.
You know, I'm thinking of IBS.
Yes.
So, but this is good because I'm so uneducated in this realm, and I'm really interested. So that is your low point, is when you had this disease. And I want to kind of start from the beginning where you found out you had this disease in college. Is that right?
Right after college.
Okay. So set the scene for us a little bit. So you had just graduated college. Where are you living at the time? Were you in New York?
I was at home.
You were at home. Where's home for you?
In Wyckoff, New Jersey.
Okay. In Jersey. Okay.
And I was studying. I just started to study for my master's in public administration and public policy at John Jay College.
Okay. So you were going to go the political route originally?
Originally for government administration.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I just started to study. And I start to see symptoms the end of college of my senior year at Marist, where I was just going out with my friends. I was enjoying life. I was in a relationship at the time. And I thought nothing could go wrong. And that was the start of it, where everything started to go wrong.
Yeah, that's typically when it's whenever you say that. That is like, Yeah.
I started to tell myself that, where I was like, you know, nothing could really go wrong because life is so amazing.
That's your problem right there. As soon as you say that to yourself, stuff tends to go wrong. That's why I tried to convince myself my life is horrible. Because then, even when things are looking pretty good, I'm like, I don't want to.
Negative perspective. Just keep expectations low.
Keep positivity completely from your life. That is my advice for anyone listening.
I can't agree with that. That's the one thing we're opposite with.
So what symptoms are you experiencing at this time?
Literally shit hit the fan and I started to see blood in my stool.
Okay.
And I said, this, something's wrong. What is going on? Sure. And my dad's a doctor, so he's a urologist. So I immediately call him up. I'm like, what is going on? I saw the physician's assistant on campus and she said, oh, it's just a cut on your butt.
Right. Because I think a lot of times, when people see, because I my brother's a doctor as well,
mm-hmm.
not to one up you, but you know, closer mm-hmm. relation, mm-hmm. doctor, family, mm-hmm. so whatever. He was saying, like, a lot of times, like, I guess not to be grotesque, but more from like a clinical standpoint, mm-hmm. if anybody, God forbid, is like having this and listening, how often are we seeing blood in your stool? How much is it impacting your life?
It's different. You know, everyone's so different because, you know, I know people that have it, but it doesn't impact their life as much, and they take a pill every single day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so if it's, like, not, the symptoms aren't high, there's, like, a pill form of a drug that you take that helps. And I've met people that just take the pill, and they're fine. Other people, like myself, I was severely flaring where I was seeing blood all the time. I was running to the bathroom back and forth, and I was tired all the time. And I started to not have an appetite. I started to lose weight, and all this was coming on. And while I was in grad school, it was just starting it too.
Okay, so you are in grad school. You're experiencing all these symptoms. And what year is it?
2018.
2018. Okay, so 2018. You tell your doc. You tell your dad that you're having these symptoms. You go to see the physician's assistant on campus.
So originally, it was just blood at that point.
Okay,
and then she said, "Oh, it's an anal fissure, which is just like a cut in your butt."
Right,
and she goes, don't worry about it. You're fine. Put it to the side for that whole summer. And it wouldn't go away. Like, it would go away for a little bit, then come back. And then September of 2018, there was an outbreak of E. coli in romaine lettuce.
Okay.
And I had a Caesar salad, I remember so well. And I started to get a really bad stomach bug.
Oh, no.
And it set it off, where I started to see even more symptoms from there. And then in November, I then got to the point in October where I said, all right, I really need to see someone. This isn't going away.
Right.
This isn't a stomach bug. Then I met with a gastroenterologist in November, and we thought it was going to be a parasite. We get a pill and be fine. The gastro goes, your whole colon is inflamed. There's cuts everywhere. There's ulcers everywhere. We most likely believe you have ulcerative colitis, which is a form of inflammatory bowel disease where your immune system attacks your large intestine.
And is this, like, had you seen this before in your family? Like, is it genetic or is it just completely shocked?
First time.
That's crazy.
First time. And I asked the doctor, I go, what could this lead to? Like, right out of anesthesia. And he goes, this could lead to cancer.
Right.
And I just sat there thinking, right out of anesthesia, no. Because my life was so good before, now like I have this.
And you're 22 getting this diagnosis,
And he's like, oh, but you look fine for your age. You know, you look good. Like, you know, for someone with such a severe colon, you look good. And that's like the reality of an invisible disease like IBD, where people on the outside may look good, but on the inside, their body's having a fight against themselves.
There's, obviously it's not at the same level, but we have a dog who has a lot of stomach issues and, like, you know, digestional things. And someone said to me once, and, like, I'll never forget, it's like, it's so important to look and inspect what's coming out of you because it tells you a lot about what's going on inside.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So make sure you're checking those poops, baby.
Oh, please check.
Please check. Please check. That is really, it's gross and disgusting, but you gotta look.
Don't go to Chipotle all the time.
Don't go to, and this is also, because we haven't talked about this, like, do you think, when you think back to it, is there something you think, What was the cause? Like, do you think it's something you did? Was it just genetic, or is it just something that happens randomly?
The big thing is, I think you know, more people today are being diagnosed with IBD more than ever.
Which I've heard. I've heard that's true. Yeah. Do you think it's because so many people are, like with Uber Eats and DoorDash and things, like, do you think more people are just eating like more processed foods and stuff like that?
I definitely think it potentially could be environmental.
Sure.
Maybe there needs to be more research done. I think part of it is that for me, there has been research I've seen where I was on a drug called Accutane.
Okay.
For acne, for like severe acne cases, it's like a very powerful drug.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a list of side effects. And my acne was so severe, I had to go on it.
Right.
There are cases that link taking Accutane and being diagnosed with ulcerative colitis.
Stop.
But I was on it in 2013. So it's 5 years later.
Right. So it's not, yeah.
But I was thinking, like, there are cases to that and everything. And so.
That's crazy.
I need to read more into it, but I was thinking that's like a connection.
But totally worth it, right? Because when you have acne, when you were a teenager,
you
will give up a colon to do that.
No. Honestly, I'm living life, I'm living the dream right now. Honestly, it's fantastic. Not gonna lie.
I'm so insecure. You did not laugh quick enough at that.
It's so good. Honestly, though, because I was like, life is fantastic. Life is great without a colon than with a colon.
Which we're gonna get to, which I'm so excited, which we're gonna get to into the content you're making now. Okay, so you're diagnosed with this, you're in this state of disbelief. And when you initially meet your gastroenterologist, he says, we need to take care of this. This could lead to cancer. What happens next?
He said, we're going to prescribe you with a medication, and it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks to start working.
Okay.
And I said...
And this was like a pill, one of the pills you mentioned before?
One of the pills.
Okay.
And I go, 6 to 8 weeks while I'm still running to the bathroom? That's not soon enough.
And how many times are you going to the bathroom?
I was going about 6 times at this point.
Ugh.
And
like shitting every time?
Yeah, every time. And I'd be exhausted. This is where I started to limit my life, where I used to go out with my friends. I stopped going out because if I had to go to the bathroom and I'm at the bar at 10th Street in Hoboken, I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I need to go within like seconds.
Right.
So I started to pull back on my social life.
Are you telling any of your friends what's going on?
I told a few. What was going on. And then after I got diagnosed, when I would like talk to them, that's when I would tell them. I was open about it.
Okay.
I was open about
it. But you weren't like going out telling people, like people had to ask.
Yeah. If people were like, hey, how have you been? What's going on? I would tell them then.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then I would go, and then that didn't work. I went to another gastro, and that's when they started pile on like medications. I would go on a steroid. Didn't really work. They gave me another medication. Didn't work. Another one. Didn't work. I'm on like 4 medications at a time. I'm going to different gastros. And
How many doctors are you seeing like a week?
I mean, I was probably seeing one of my gastros like every 2 to 3 weeks. And then another gastro I saw that was supposed to be really good, who was, you know, I think a big part of it too is also, you know, having a doctor that is very supportive and understanding, and it's like you feel like as a part of your care team.
Yeah.
I had a doctor that was just very, let's say, didn't have the best bedside manner and would be not as friendly, let's just put it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to have someone that like really listens and understands your perspective.
Right.
So it's really, at the same time, I'm trying to find someone that's like on my team like that.
So, and you're like going to all these different gastros trying to find that person.
I was with one that I liked, and then another one that I knew that just wasn't for me. But then I went from 145 pounds to 130, and I'm just tired all the time. Everything they're throwing at me isn't working. And I saw online that there were people that actually healed their inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's disease, and they were like 120 pounds, and then they're in the best shape of their lives. And there were programs for holistic diets. And I said to my mom, nothing else is working. I want to try this and give it a shot. Right when I said to start that, I also had to give up an internship with the United Nations.
Ugh.
Because I was too sick to do it.
That's like the holy grail for political nerds.
Yeah, I was like crushed. I had to give it up on my birthday, February 28th.
Which is February 28th.
I had to give it up on there. It was not a good birthday.
Which I imagine, I just feel like I had to give it up on your birthday, which was February 28th.
One of the shittiest birthdays, literally.
Oh, God. Which is supposed to be February 29th. That's why, but it's not.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's... So, oh my God. So you had to give up an internship with the United Nations.
Yeah.
Which, again, I mean, there's literally a club when you're growing up for political people. Yes. Called UN Club.
I was not happy.
And you were, yeah.
I was really upset.
So you have to give that internship up on your birthday because of this disease.
I was too sick to travel back and forth from my house. And
just to commute to work.
Just to commute to work.
Yeah.
Because I could, that's how bad it was. I couldn't risk it. If I had to go, I had to go within 30 seconds.
Right. And you can't go on the UN floor.
No.
You can't have Germany looking at us like that. You just really can't.
That would be a shitty situation for us.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. You would be banned. And then I got kidney stones. Then end up in the hospital.
I didn't know about the kidney stones.
I never told you about kidney stones?
No, you never told me about that.
It was like someone stabbing you on the subway in New York City.
Pain. Yeah.
It's,
oh my God.
It's bad. It was bad. I have a very high pain tolerance and you couldn't do anything. So, I was throwing up from it.
Okay, so now you have stuff coming out of all orifices.
Everywhere.
Every orifice you got, there's just stuff coming out. You're throwing up. You have the kidney stones on top of this bowel disease.
Mm-hmm.
What did your family do in a past life that God is punishing you like this?
I don't
know. Have you thought about that? Have you interviewed your family to maybe ask around?
I do need to interview my dad still. He is a doctor. He saves lives, but there's still questions.
But there's still something.
My mom is a saint.
Yes.
My mom's an actual angel.
We've met her. I can vouch for that. 100%. So now you're homesick. You can't even work. Because of how sick you are.
I was just doing what was I doing at the time? I was doing like research for my professor at grad school and I was pulling back and I was just like for two straight weeks, from the hospital when I had kidney stones, I got diagnosed with a bacterial infection called C. diff. So then it's making me go to the bathroom now. Up to 24 times a day.
Oh, Mike, that's once an hour.
It was not
Jesus.
Good.
Could you sleep and like not? Would you wake up to go to the bathroom?
So actually, in this point in like March 2019, it actually was maybe it was 24 one of the days. I'm not sure, but like it was like in the high teens. I was going because
God.
They give you this medication to get rid of the C. diff, and I'm already flaring from ulcerative colitis.
Right.
But the medication they give you to get rid of the C. diff makes you go to the bathroom even more.
That's crazy.
So I'm just going nonstop, and it was just like not fun. I started the holistic diet then with the holistic program.
Right.
And they change up your whole entire diet where they're giving you multiple types of supplements. You're basically having banana, blueberry, slippery elm shakes.
Slippery elm?
Slippery elm, literally dirt from the
ground.
Not
the dry elm. It's got to be a slippery.
Oh, it's got to be slippery. Slippery slopes.
Slippery slopes, your elm.
And then they give you, like, you can only have, like, a meat and a veggie for lunch.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, a shake for dinner. It was just, like, to rest the bowel so you don't have anything that's, like, hard to digest.
And what kind of meat are we talking here?
It could be, like, ground beef. It could be
chicken.
It could be... turkey, but it was had to be like lightly seasoned.
But like, it's just yes, like very plain.
Very plain.
Okay.
And it was tough.
And how long were you on this diet for?
Ooh, probably until like May. Because then
so you tried for 2 months.
I tried for 2 months. Middle of April, when the C. diff went away, I started to like feel a lot better.
Okay.
And then I started to go to the bathroom like 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay, so you think it's like back to normal at this point?
I'm starting to get back to normal. I'm starting to gain weight. I dropped 113 pounds. Now I'm starting to gain weight. I'm still on one of like the steroids for UC, for IBD. But I was taking it in January before and it really wasn't helping me at all. I was still going to the bathroom like 9 times a day.
Right.
But at this point, I was going like 2 to 3 after being on this holistic diet. I'm going, wow. I feel good. I have energy. I can work out again. I started to go back into grad school again to do my classes.
Sure.
I felt great. Like, and I started to have like a new perspective of gaining discipline to eat better and like really having this new gratitude. Then it all changed in the middle of May. I got a recurrence of C. diff.
Oh, so you get infected again?
It came back. It has a chance of coming back, C. diff.
Okay.
So to get rid of that, I had to go back on the medication. Then I dropped to 113 pounds again. Then I was going 24 times a day.
Right.
The holistic diet stopped working. Nothing was working. And I stopped the holistic diet because I was at 103 pounds then.
And that's the photo, which I encourage you to check out his Instagram. that's the photo you show. It's you at your skinniest, right? Because you're at 103 pounds.
I got so weak that it was like making a bed was like a 2-hour workout. It was to go up and down the stairs was so tough. I had to stop going, like I had to stop at the halfway point.
So you can't even like move at this point.
Because you're so out of breath
right.
from everything. And staying in the showers was tough.
Did you get a shower chair?
No, I didn't actually because I had a rail.
Okay.
So I'd like hold onto the rail and then I'd lay in like the bath because I couldn't like stand.
Oh God! So you turned into a bath guy.
And it was nice.
That's
I like my baths.
There aren't a lot of perks to this.
But it was relaxing
when you can take those baths.
Oh, it was great.
It's
the only good part. At this point, then I was in a relationship, and then I broke up with my ex-girlfriend.
Right. She broke up with you, or you broke up with her?
I broke up with her.
Okay, gotcha.
Because it just, you know, wish her
all
the best.
I mean, you're going through so much at this point. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure to no fault of her. It's just maybe, well, you tell me. Was it like she couldn't support you in the way you needed, or was it just... Were you just like, I want to bang other chicks like, at this point?
At 103 pounds.
At 103 pounds, you're like, babe.
Nothing but bones.
You're like, babe, I want to get back out there. I want to test out this
bod. I need to do this now. All the hair is everywhere. It was really, I realized at one point that we weren't meant to be together.
Totally.
It really just was. And I couldn't even like tell her in person. I had to be over the phone because I was just so weak.
Right. And by the way, for listeners, we're not at the low point yet. I've heard this story before. We're not there yet.
No.
So there's more coming.
We're not the shittiest point.
No, we're not. Another pun.
Yeah, another pun. There's going to be so many puns.
There's going to be a lot of things are shitty in this story.
So great.
But so, okay. So now you break up with her because I can only imagine, I'm sure you're learning so much about yourself.
Yeah.
At this point. And
nothing wrong with her. And like, you know, I wish her the best.
Yeah, of course, of course. So you're, okay. So now you're single. You're going through this. And then we're in May 2019, I think.
June.
So now we're at June.
I started to go to a new doctor. I said bye to the holistic program and to the coaches.
Was it just getting too hard to stay on that holistic diet?
It was hard.
And you weren't seeing results.
I wasn't seeing results, and it was dangerous to be on this because I've seen people like heal themselves from this online, and that's great, happy for them. But there are people it doesn't work for. Didn't work for me. And to be a part of that program with the coaches, and they would, you know, the coach I was with would tell me, like, wink, wink, there's this amino acid online you should take that will help you. Mm-hmm. You should go buy it online.
And
I'm not really
like,
supposed to tell you
these are certified coaches, or?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
Like, it was, I don't remember, but, like, I think they got got a certificate.
Sure.
And I was like, after that person told me that, I said, bye.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah.
I'm like, I need an actual.
He's like, by the way, I sell this amino acid.
It literally,
so if you wanna,
literally,
I got a whole line of supplements that I could put you on.
It's crazy because because the doctors when I was with them before, I couldn't find someone that could be a part of that team that I was like looking for, and then also everything I was taking wasn't working.
Right.
When they said it would work.
Yeah.
And then, I tried this out. It wasn't working. But then I went to a hospital that actually has an inflammatory bowel disease center.
Okay.
And that's
where was this?
In New York. In New York City.
It's in New York. Okay.
Yeah. And I went to them.
Is this NYU Langone?
This is Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai. Okay.
And I was with them, and my gastro was amazing. He was awesome. I met with them, and I was at 103 pounds. He goes, Matt, you are in the driver's seat. I'm here to give you advice. To help you along the way to get where you need to be.
Was your doctor Gary V? Because, oh my God. That...
But he was, to this day, one of the greatest doctors I've ever had.
Yeah.
And he said, like, ultimately, you're the one that's going to make the decision, but I want to help you and give you all the information that I have to get you where you want to be.
Right.
And that stuck with me so hard because I said, you know what? This guy's on my side.
Yeah.
So I went on a biologic, a really strong type of medication to suppress my immune system.
Okay.
And it was like an IV infusion.
How often are you getting it?
You get the first infusion, then it would be 2 weeks, then 4 weeks, and then 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then depending on how often you flare up, because the medication would leave your body after a certain amount of time. So depending on how much you needed, you'd be like every 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It depends.
So you're suppressing your immune system. So with your body's not attacking your colon.
Yeah.
And at this point, are you getting sick?
No, I got better immediately.
Oh, wow.
It was an at-home infusion the end of June. I started to write down in a journal. I started to do things that like were better for my mental health.
Yeah.
Before I started to get this IV infusion. And I got it. I'm telling you, within like 2 hours, I started to feel the results.
You're
like,
kidding, wow.
I started to see like less blood. And I, within 1 week, I was at 101 pounds at one point. I got to 107.
You couldn't break that 100 mark, huh?
No. I was like,
you couldn't
it.
Just say
99.
Within 99.
One, I was like,
you're
nope.
Like, oh, come on. I
so
just
mad.
Want to say 99.
But I did do one thing. I said to my mom, you don't have to do the dishes. I'll do them.
Oh, what a moment.
It was a big moment.
That is huge.
I remember my mom asked my brother to do the dishes while I was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I'll do it. I'll do it.
That's
and
secure.
It felt so good.
I'm sure. Yeah. And I mean, we talk a lot about gratitude, I think, this episode, and we're going to get to your new life outlook. But, oh my God, just to be able to do the dishes. How many people think, I'm a pain in the ass. I am such a curmudgeon when I am home. I am like, all right, got it. Yeah, it's a great word. I'm studying for the SAT. I am such a pain in the ass. No, I'm not.
Damn it. I was like, what? Go to college?
What'd you say, Tay? Oh, that's never mind. I thought my girlfriend said something in the back. But no, I am so, anytime I got to do something that wasn't planned or something like that, I get so incensed. And just to be able to have that outlook, even as something as simple as doing the dishes, being able to do that.
That was the big thing. You know, you bring up that big point because I couldn't do like everyday life anymore at one point. I couldn't go out with my friends. I couldn't walk up and down the stairs. I couldn't cook my own meals. My mom was bringing up my meals to my bedroom. And
you were spending all day in bed?
All day in bed, or I'd go down to the family room and like lay there. And I would look at my phone and I would see my friends be out, go to parties and like be in the city. And I'd look up from my phone and I would be staring in front of the TV, or I'd look outside and it'd be like jail.
Yeah.
It was like I was trapped and you couldn't leave. Now I start to feel better to gain that strength. And I started to meet with an actual, you know, a social worker for my mental health that Mount Sinai provided, which is amazing. They have great resources.
Sure.
And to talk about how IBD affects you. And then also an IBD dietitian.
Oh, okay. That's
which
really
is
good.
Huge. I recommend everyone who has IBD or some type of disease like what that like affects like the gut especially, see a dietitian. It's huge because she taught me how to reintroduce certain foods into my diet, how to eat cleaner, what to look out for. And I take these tips every single day still. And it taught me not only eat cleaner, but to appreciate food so much more.
Yeah.
Like she told me like I could have peanut butter. And I never liked peanut butter before. But I started to throw it in because I wanted anything to eat.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I wanted anything.
And
I was
peanut
like,
butter's great too for like calories and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I needed the calories.
Yeah.
And to have that, I was like, I'm going to throw this in every single shake.
Yeah.
Maybe bathe myself in it.
You big peanut butter buff?
Big peanut butter buff.
Like, are you a big peanut butter fan? Like, you know how you say movie buff? Like, yeah.
Oh, buff.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
are you buff from peanut butter? No, he is buff, but we're going to get into that later.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Stop it. I've seen the Instagram photos.
I appreciate it.
Check out Maddie Bowles.
Oh, thank you.
So, oh my God. Okay. So now you are. So now do you think it's over at this point? Like, do you think it's because you're on this medication?
So there is a chance that it could, like, so the research where I was told that it's like a 62, it was like in the 60s or high 50s of chance of like the medication working.
Right.
And there are times when a medication could fail at some point. At this point, I'm having so much gratitude for like going to the gym, gaining my strength back, like being very dedicated in the gym, eating well, driving a car. Like
right.
I was listening to David Aguilera.
Is that right?
I can't pronounce it. David Aguilera?
No, not David Archuleta.
Archuleta.
The American Idol guy?
Yeah.
Let's look this up right now because that's going to bother me.
Really bothering me.
I think it's David
Archuleta.
David Archuleta? There's two of them, I think.
Aguilera. I think it's Aguilera.
David David. What's the song?
Crush.
Aguilera, David.
It's like, do you ever feel like a
crush, David? David Archuleta.
David Archuleta.
What
yeah.
is it? What am I saying? Okay. This is ooh, I hung up the phone tonight. That's the song.
All right. It's like, do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
That's Katy Perry.
No, it's like, oh wait.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
No, that is Katy Perry. No, but it's like, then the crazy times. Yeah, this one. Yes. I was blasted.
I don't even know if I'm legally allowed to play this, but come sue me. It's good. It's good promotion.
It's great. He's fantastic. I was blasting this song. Oh, so good. I mean, chills.
Just a rush.
It's a really good chorus.
Oh, do you ever feel like that song. Yes. Okay. But took me a minute, but I got there.
Yeah, great research with that.
We got there. Listen, hey.
It's great research.
I got YouTube.
It's fantastic.
We're on YouTube.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Go ahead.
I blasted this song and like felt so good.
So
like,
you think at this point, you think it's over?
I think I reached a point where it's like, this is no longer going to be like it's something to monitor and look at. But it's something to like keep in the back. Like it's more to the back of my head. Where like
sure.
I'm so grateful for life. Like, and I just had this new mindset of being so grateful for life, loving life every single day, being so much more positive than I was before, being happy to have the little things like walk up and down the stairs, do the dishes, help out, focus on yourself, and being alive. Like I really had this brand new perspective of living life to the fullest.
And I can't help but think that at some point. You have the thought that you had the first time, which is that, what could go wrong?
Literally, what could go wrong? Well, in the middle of August, I had my friends from college come over.
Sure.
To be like, hey, celebratory party. I'm all better.
Nice.
What happened at this party?
Oh, no.
I started to flare again.
Oh, geez.
Two months. Into being on this medication. I think a little bit less than 2 months.
Okay.
I started to flare. At this party, yeah. And I started to feel like crap. Like, they're all having fun, and I'm like, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
I started to feel like crap. Started to flare, went to the ER twice. First time, they thought I needed, like, more Remicade. So, like, I went to the ER, they gave me more Remicade.
Which is the suppressing drug.
Yes.
Okay.
Wasn't working. And then the second time I went, I thought it was because they tested me positive for, I think it was, like, E. coli, I think.
Okay.
But they're like, we don't
Did you have more lettuce?
No, I haven't different. Had lettuce still. I still haven't had
you
lettuce.
Lettuce, you're still scarred from.
Still, I wasn't scarred, but like it would just ravage me.
Yeah, that's.
And
that's why I stay away from lettuce.
Oh, it's great. Caesar salad is fantastic.
I know, I do love a Caesar salad.
I had one last night that actually I think made me sick.
So he's having salad again. Stay till the end. Yes. See what happens.
And so then like through August to September, I'm flaring. Not as bad, but. I lost like 10 pounds.
Okay.
And at one point, I said to my mom, this can't go on anymore. We need to go to the ER at Mount Sinai again.
Okay. So you're back at the ER.
So we're back at the ER. They look inside my colon, and my gastro was gone because he just had a third kid.
Okay.
And
how selfish.
I know. These having like another kid.
Bringing more life into the world.
I was like, my life is in danger. And I'm like, I was messaging him. I'm like, I'm so happy. I think he messaged me or I messaged him. I'm like, in the hospital. I'm doing this, but I'm so happy for you.
That's
like,
that's congrats. You to a T though. That is,
I'm so happy
if,
for
if
him.
If that's me, I'm texting that doctor. How dare you? Where the F are you?
I was like, he's having a third child, and he's like the nut. He's like the kindest, one of the kindest doctors
yeah,
I've ever
I'm
had.
Sure.
And he was like, great.
I would guilt the hell out of him.
Oh my God, Dr. Grinspan, he's the man.
At Mount Sinai, is he still there?
Mount Sinai, I don't know. I still haven't talked to him in years, and I really need to catch up with him and tell him what my life has happened.
I know. You're doing so many great stuff. Anyway, okay, so you go into the ER, you see this doctor.
The doctor says, and it's all like a part of like the, they're all part of the same team, like the IBD team. And one of the doctors says to me, like, oh, it doesn't look good in there. Like, it's very inflamed. Like, there's ulcers everywhere.
Ugh.
We think you just need more Remicade. So I go.
Oh my God! They don't even. They put you more.
They thought I needed more. So what? So three times a year, the director of the IBD center comes to Mount Sinai because he's. I think he was in France a lot. He's in France a lot.
They called you in for the case. You were the case that brought him home.
He happened to be at the hospital.
Okay.
And he took over my case.
Wow.
So he comes to my room and he says,
"They're calling. This is like the FBI coming
in." He's like the top.
He's like the top guy.
And he goes,
"It's like in those medical shows when they're like they bring in." Sorry,
literally,
like,
he's like House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Literally, they're like they're bringing in House.
He's not like the personality of House, but he is.
I would
like
hope not.
The guy. He's the guy. Yeah, he's like.
Hopefully, the medical genius, just not the personality.
Just start to beat me with the cane.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm already sick, man.
He's popping painkillers. You're like, should you be doing that here?
He's popping himself. I'm like, should you see a doctor? He says to me, he comes in, really nice guy, but he says, "Your whole colon's inflamed. It needs to come out."
Yeah.
And I go, "What?" And he goes, "We're throwing everything at you. Prednisone isn't working. Remicade isn't working. Those are like, Remicade's the strongest drug. It's not working. Prednisone is supposed to be like the drug, like the steroid that like really halts you, and that doesn't work."
Yeah.
"It needs to come out. You're going to have an ostomy bag." And an ostomy bag is a, basically, it's a bag that goes around something called stoma. So what the doctor does is they bring the end of your small intestine to the outside of your body, and it's like called a stoma. And that, it's like the end of your small intestine, and out comes stool.
Right.
And around it goes a bag called an ileostomy bag, which holds the stool.
They basically reroute it so that it goes into this bag.
So instead of out my butt, it goes out through my stuff. Like really,
yeah.
no joke, like right next to my belly button.
Yeah.
And they cut out my colon. And I said, I started to cry. I started to break down because I didn't have, at that point in my life, I didn't have high confidence in myself. And I didn't look at myself as I loved myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be even shittier.
The pun.
The puns.
What a time to throw
the
that
puns.
In.
It's a good time. And I started to cry, and I go, I don't want to have my colon removed.
Which I remember, too, because like thinking, you're 22 at this point, 23?
23.
You're 23 at this point, and so much of, like, one, I think back to like that time in my life, having as someone who like hasn't gone through this, what I looked like, and my ability to attract a partner kept up so much of my mental space that something like this in the same way would make me distraught. I'd completely empathize with you. I completely understand where you're coming from.
I appreciate that.
From a romantic sense, obviously.
Yeah,
but like, of course, if you're not, it's not going to make you feel good about yourself.
Because I appreciate you saying that because there are people that think that. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking that, like, I would never, like, what girl would want to be in a relationship?
Right. Which is, yeah, of course you're thinking
that.
Because
it's tough. And,
yeah.
You know, I started to look that upon myself where, like, I, you know, I'm never going to be the same. My life, my body's going to be different for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be the same. And I start to cry. The doctors told me that the only other option was to go on this very, like, tough medication that would really suppress my immune system even worse. And the doctor would tell, and like the doctor said that people have chosen that route. There are some that like have lost their lives. And one of the residents or the fellows said to me, "We're here to save lives, not colons." And that stuck with me because
I feel like you got to throw that on a t-shirt.
It's such
really
a huge quote because I said like in the back of my head, I know I was going to go with like having the surgery, but he said to me, "Meet with the surgeon tomorrow, talk to him, think about it, please." And I know I was going to choose that route,
right.
But it just was crushing. After meeting with the surgeon, he was like a really nice guy. And he was a top notch IBD surgeon. And he said, you know, we would have the bag. And like, I started to think about all the things I'd start to get back again. I could have the freedom to eat a lot of foods again that I couldn't have before.
Right.
I could work out again. I don't have to worry about a bathroom as much. Like, I still have to go a little bit more often, but it's not like I'm running to the bathroom.
Sure, sure.
So I'm thinking like, okay, like, I'm starting to see the positives of this. And then I asked, I said to him, okay, let's do it. And he said, when do you want to do it? And I go, I have a choice. He said, yeah. And I said, when can you do it? And he goes, we could do it tomorrow. I go, tomorrow.
That's like the craziest part with these surgeries is like they happen
right
like that.
because it was emergency surgery. Yeah, he's like, you're going to be an add-on case. Then
they brought in the director. Of course it's going to be tomorrow.
I'm like, damn, like, this is crazy. I was like, this is wild. But I'm like, all right, it's happening. It's whatever. I get a knock on the door. And in comes this guy, dressed to the nines, like pure sunshine, comes to my room. And he says to me, hey, my name's Andrew. This is Christian. We're your ostomy nurses. And I go, one, why the hell is this guy so happy? And two, what the hell is an ostomy nurse? This Andrew is was an ostomy nurse. He basically helps like patients learn to live with an ostomy again.
Mm-hmm.
So he's marking on my body where the ostomy would be, but he's doing it in such a amazing, positive transition.
Right, like he's
period.
Being funny about it. He's being like
just so kind, and he's like, Matt, you're going to get your life back. You're going to live again.
Yeah,
you're going to be able to
great.
Eat again. And they, like, sympathized me with you, too. Where they said, we see a lot of patients go on these medications. They end up failing, but they look so much better. And he's telling me, you know, people, the color comes back to their faces after they gain weight again. They gain it back immediately. They're able to, like, go work out again. And he's saying all these things to me. And he's making it not only so comforting, but I feel, like, understood and comforted. And I said, I'm really more excited for this now. Then I have the next day I have the surgery. The surgery goes through great.
Where they remove your colon.
They remove the whole entire thing. And then he taught me how to live with the bag. And he called it my Gucci bag.
Hilarious.
Which is like great because so I'm good. Like, that's a great name to give it.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in such a great manner of like, teach me how to have it. And it was weird to have like an intestine outside your body, but... You know,
could you, like, see your intestine?
Yeah, you could see the intestine.
Wow.
Like, it's literally on the outside of your body.
And you can, oh, wow, my God.
Yeah, so, like, the stoma, like, for when it's cut, they cut the point from, like, how it's attached to the colon to the small intestine.
Right.
And then they bring that small intestine outside, so it sticks out.
Oh, gotcha.
So literally it's sticking out.
It's like an outie belly button.
It's literally an outie belly button.
We talked
but
about
just,
this
like,
before. We recorded there.
I know. It's literally an outie, like the maximum outie belly button.
Right.
But then the bag goes over and it's like perfect.
Gotcha.
And
did you have a fear? This would be my fear, again, asking as an ignorant person who hasn't gone through this. Did you have a fear that the bag was going to fall off at any point?
Yes, it could. But it wasn't like, if you do it right, extremely low chances.
Okay. How do they like secure it on there? Do they like?
It's adhesive.
Oh, it's an adhesive. Okay.
It's an adhesive.
That feels good.
So it
okay.
sticks to your body.
Makes me feel better. Okay,
so you
gotcha.
Cut, the way it is like you, it's like a peel off, like the end of the bag, it's like a peel off. And then it's like an adhesive stickiness.
Gotcha. So you stick it to your stomach.
You stick it to your stomach around the stoma so it doesn't come off.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
then there's other products that make it even better.
And how often would you change it?
Depending, it could be 2 to 3 days. I know there were cases, the hospital told me like 4 to 7.
And really?
Yeah. I was like, wow. I mean, but I do like 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
It's like changing a diaper.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
Yeah,
like
keep it fresh.
Like the oil in a car. You don't want to wait too long.
After 2 days, it would start to stank.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like, would you smell it outside of...
No, but I will tell you, emptying that thing was like...
Yeah, that would be my...
Imagine Fat Bastard.
Oh, God,
from
Austin Powers.
His dumps.
Oh, God.
Like, just that. It's that's just how it is for like the ostomy bags.
Yeah.
They just don't smell good.
Oh,
like it's a
God.
Fact, like it doesn't smell good.
Right.
It's just, it's very potent. So always keep poopery with you.
Oh,
always
okay.
keep poop, always gotcha. Keep poopery and then you're set. You're set.
What did Andrew say anything about that or?
Was
he just like, he was, because I know he was very happy and.
He didn't mention to me about that, but what stuck
He was like,
to
let's
me,
focus on the positives.
Yeah, literally focus on that. he said to me the last time I saw him. He gave me, like, my supplies. He gave me his card, his number.
And you're, sorry, so let's, because I want to get back to him, because I know he's very important in the story. So he helps you through it, right? You come out of surgery. He's telling you how to live with it. So you're seeing him for, what would you say, like, a few weeks after your surgery, just to, like, get acclimated with everything?
Literally, I think I saw him one, maybe two, like, 3-4 times.
And, they, like, even in that very short span you saw him, he had a profound impact on
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him, it was right when I was about to leave the hospital, and he gives me supplies, and then my mom was with me too, and he's like, wow, like, you must, like, really love, like, you love this. And he goes, oh, I love ostomies. I want patients to master them so they can get their lives back again.
That's such a great attitude.
And it just clicked in my head even more where that made such an impact on me to like really embrace my ostomy and my body, because I couldn't have control over this, but I can control my attitude about it and see that I'm about to get all the things that I lost before back again.
Right.
And I asked him, because this is now 4 or 5 days after the surgery, I go, "Hey, Andrew, my friends are having a housewarming party in Hoboken this Saturday. Can I go?" And he goes, "Oh, if you feel good to go to Boken, you go there. You go have a good time."
He called it Boken.
He called it Boken. He lived in the city. He gets it.
And he lived in the city?
He lived in the city.
And he didn't shit on Hoboken.
No, he didn't shit on it. And I said, "I'm going." So I surprised.
We live in Hoboken. So we just do. For that, yeah, we
yeah. And I surprised my friends that Saturday at 113 pounds at that party, because I was so confident in myself more than ever than having a colon.
Sure.
Because...
And you were out, you had the ostomy on you, right?
I had
the
ostomy.
You're out, you're able to do your thing.
Out, I went with my friend, and I felt amazing because I was said, I'm out for the first time in almost a year where I'm able to enjoy myself, even though I'm like, I didn't drink, but because I was still after surgery, but...
Right.
I was able to like be out
you're
and just, socialize.
You're pounding beers.
I'm pounding beers.
You're like, I'm back, baby.
I got a Bud Light sticker on my head. There was a picture of me with that.
Do you guys want to see what happens when I put a beer in my ostomy?
Yeah. Don't give me ideas,
reverse
man.
Chuck.
I should have.
No, don't.
Don't
I
do
see
that.
The look
don't
on your
do
face.
That.
Don't do that.
Please don't do
no,
that.
No, please don't. That's not. If you have an ostomy, don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Please don't.
But
maybe. No, don't do it.
But I literally lived life to the fullest, like for the first time.
Yeah, in what, like a year, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just so happy. I started to eat food. Like, I had a cream cheese bagel. I could have a cream cheese bagel.
It's crazy to think. I had that this morning and thought nothing of it. It's
I
crazy.
Eat that and I go, wow, I'm eating this again instead of a slippery elm shake. And then I'm having, like, I had pizza, like plain pizza.
Yeah.
And then I could eat, but I majority eat healthy. So I was disciplined from the holistic program. I learned how to be disciplined in my diet.
That's good too, because I know we're going to talk a little bit about your diet now.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of the things I said to you is you're very disciplined.
Yeah.
Which I think makes sense that you got it from there. So you're at this party. And of course, once again, you think to yourself, what else could go wrong?
Yeah. And I start to live life again. It was amazing. And I was so happy. And I text Andrew. I'd be like, hey, like, the ostomy's great. And he's like, I knew you were going to master it. I knew you were going to do well with it. And I was really feeling on top of the world to get my life back. So to go back to, you know, when I talked to the surgeon first, he told me that this could be a temporary situation for me, because he said, you have the option to have something called a J-pouch surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, J-pouch is where they take the end of your small intestine, they literally turn into a J, so then it becomes like a mini colon in your body.
Like an upside-down J?
An upside-down J.
Oh, see, I think that's important they
do
that.
Oh, wait, actually, no, just like a regular J, actually.
So, but where, okay, because I'm thinking, right, it's like if it's a J, goes, so, because there's that loop at the end, I feel like it's going to go up.
They poke a hole at the bottom of the J.
Oh, see, that's important.
Yep.
That's what they should name that. It shouldn't be a J-pouch, it should be a J with a hole at the bottom pouch.
Yeah.
Because of that hole in the bottom, it's just going to go right back into your body.
Yeah, so then they should like turn the J upside. They should
J with a hole. J with a hole in the bottom.
So there's something called an S pouch too.
What's with these letters?
I don't know.
What's with these letters? Why
not? I don't know.
They should give me a Y. This is something that clearly just goes down.
You know, probably the person that named all these is Dr. Alphabet.
Stop it.
Dr.
He's like,
Alphabet.
My legacy will live on in these shapes.
He's like, A, B, C. He's like, I like J and S the best.
Yeah,
I think there's
J
a K. Is there, wait, there might be a K pouch. I don't know.
There's K cups.
There are K cups.
Oh, sorry.
But he said, first, you're going to have your colon removed to have the ileostomy. Then, after 3 months,
okay,
you're going to have the J pouch surgery.
With a hole in the bottom.
With the hole at the bottom, but then you're going to have the ileostomy still, but it's going to be different. It'll be like a temporary ileostomy. So it's like, instead of like the stool coming out the end of it, they poke a hole in like the middle of the small intestine and they like bring it to the outside of your body. So it's like the same thing, but just like higher up on the small intestine
chain.
Gotcha.
Okay. But you would be able to go to the bathroom normally?
Not yet. So then the third surgery, would be they close up the ileostomy. Because they let the shape pouch heal.
Oh, it's still... Oh,
it's a three-part procedure.
Gotcha.
First...
It's a trilogy.
It's literally a trilogy. So, first time, they rip out the colon, and they take it out, and then ileostomy. Second surgery, you get the shape pouch. Then temporary ileostomy. After 3 months, they close up the ileostomy. And that's it. So, I meet with him in November to see, tell him how I'm doing.
This is November 2019?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I talked to him about... how I'm doing, and then we talk about the J-pouch surgery. Then he tells me the bag is going to be a little bit different, and the ileostomy bag. And I go, okay, can Andrew teach me how to use the bag? No one says anything. And then they bring in the head ostomy nurse of the department, and the surgeon leaves. He said, we'll see you December 16th. And so... my mom's talking to the nurse because she's like, I'm nervous about the surgery, but she's like, he's in great hands. Like, he's in great hands with a great surgeon. And I said to her, can Andrew teach me how to use the bag? And then she put her hands on my knees and said, I am so sorry. I have to be the one to tell you this, but Andrew passed away. I just got not chills. I went into this, like, fight or flight. Like state where I just zoned out for a solid 5 minutes, like just, and I just couldn't process.
Yeah, he was young too, right?
He was 27.
Yeah,
he was 4 years older than us. And she said he had his own medical complications. He passed away on October 19th.
And you know, I think about it now, because I know this story, but I didn't know he had his own medical complications. So I bet he was the kind of person to use his troubles to kind of help. Others yeah. do that.
Yeah, I think because that's what people in healthcare really drive off of that.
Right.
Like very successful. I know very successful, a very successful surgeon that really does that too. But
and again, someone you only met maybe a handful of times, but just the impact. Changed your life. Yeah.
He changed my life.
And he was married, right? I think.
He was married with a kid on the way. His first kid was on the way.
It's terrible.
And it was worse than heartbreaking. It was like, this man will never know the impact he made on my life.
Yeah.
He will never see me like how I normally look, and he'll never hear me say thank you.
But you know, I think it's funny because I've thought about this a lot, and it is hard because we go through life all the time. We never know how the impact, positive or negative, that we have on random people we meet and things like that. But I think one of the beautiful things when we think about it really is it's really through people's actions that people live on. I'll give you an example. I had a family friend pass away in a motorcycle accident at 25.
Oh, my God.
And I know. It's awful. So we're at the funeral, and, you know, it's traditional at funerals. People go around. They put a rose on the coffin. Everybody goes, and they put a flower, on the coffin before they lower it in. And someone had this idea from the back, and they go, and his name was Rock. It was like Rocky. He was like, listen, Rock would want us to all throw it at the same time and see who could get it on the coffin closest. So everyone on the count of three, one, two, three, everyone did it. And it was this really beautiful moment in this really dark time. But that's how he lived on through people. It's through that impact. So I think it's tragic he may not have known. But, I mean, through the way you are now, being so positive. I mean, I see that in the way you are, being so positive that, Andrew, I think, lives on, through you and things like that. And all the people he's helped.
I think that's like a big thing where people can take away from is living on through other people's actions.
Yeah.
So because then he inspired me to spread awareness for IBD.
Yeah, you've done great work doing it now. So I mean I think we're towards the end of the story where you have these surgeries and I mean take us through.
So then it was once again, what could go wrong?
Oh, God. And time number four.
Time number four. I had the J-pouch surgery, and I had complications. I was...
Oh, God.
It was honestly almost worse than ulcerative colitis.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I was throwing up. I had kidney stones. I was massively dehydrated.
You're back in all orifices.
Literally just, yep, back in all orifices. Oh. I didn't have an appetite. I had this type of heartburn where it was like lava in your chest. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And it started off small, but then it built up in February. to where I was in the hospital then from February to the end of February for 3 weeks.
So this is February 2020 must be, right?
Right before COVID.
Oh, my God. So you're in the hospital right before COVID.
Yep.
God, before it was cool.
So before it was cool. So what happened was they were trying to figure out what was going on with me first. So checking me for like gallbladder issues. They were checking me if I had like a obstruction. And what happened was the temporary ileostomy was placed too high up in my small intestine.
Oh, no.
So I was going to the bathroom too far, like too often, to where I was having too going so much, my body wasn't absorbing anything.
Oh, Jesus.
So the smell was so putrid. Like, I was so sensitive to smell, where the smell from the ostomy bag made me puke on spot. Ugh. And I would be, like, in the hospital. Like, I didn't eat for, like, over a week. They put me on total partial nutrition, which is, like, nutrition through, like, a bag. Like, they give you a bag of calories in the IV.
Ugh, God.
So they closed me up early. I'm still having issues. I went back to 105 pounds. And I went home. COVID hits, and I'm starting to feel, like, all these symptoms still. I'm still, like, then I'm going to the bathroom, like, out of my butt. But I'm, like, not feeling good at all. Like, I feel sick. I'm tired all the time. I'm running to the bathroom. And they diagnosed me with something called pouchitis, which is something like the inflammation of the J pouch. So it's similar to ulcerative colitis.
Oh, my God. So you got, right, it's the inflammation of it. So you got ulcerative colitis for this J pouch.
So there are people that get it because it's like an imbalance of, like, bacteria. Okay. So, like, it's not uncommon. I don't know how common it is for patients, but, like, it can be something.
Sure.
So the doctor says, you just take an antibiotic, then you're fine. So I would take this antibiotic. It felt like I was a normal human being.
Are you kidding? It was just an antibiotic.
Literally, it felt like I was going to the bathroom 4 times a day. Felt amazing. Felt so good. When I go off the antibiotic, it all come back.
Are you still on the antibiotic?
No, not anymore. Wow. Not currently, but at this time in 2020, when it was COVID, I felt amazing.
Okay.
On the antibiotic. Off it, I felt awful.
You're feeling amazing in 2020. Everyone else is
literally feeling on top of the world, like how I should be.
You're walking out of the hospital. I'm ready, everybody. Everybody's
it's
running
great.
In.
But then it was like awful. I'm like, ugh. I went back in February. I came back home in February, but it was just like awful. And then in May, I saw my surgeon again. He diagnosed me not only with Crohn's like pouchitis.
Ugh.
So Crohn's disease is like, think ulcerative colitis, where your immune system attacking your large intestine, but it can happen anywhere in your digestive system.
Okay.
So
and is Crohn's for your stomach or?
It's anywhere in the digestive system.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. So it could be your mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
Anywhere to your butt.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So I said, something's not right here. You just told me that, like, this all happened after the J-pouch surgery. There's something's going on. And he told me to go on another type of biologic like Remicade. But I'm like, this all happened after I had the surgery. This all started to happen. That's when I started to do my own research and found Dr. Ramsey from NYU Langone, who is a world-renowned surgeon in inflammatory bowel disease. He was the inflammatory bowel disease director at NYU. And his specialty was redoing J-pouches that had surgical issues.
Wow.
I met with him over FaceTime during COVID, June, the middle of June. And he said to me, Matt, I got your whole entire file of over 1,000 pages. And he said, you have been through hell, but I'm going to tell you two things. One, you are going to have a great life and we are going to take great care of you. I've been to so many doctors. Not one gave me that type of satisfaction that I was looking for. He basically told me it was a surgical issue. And I had to redo every single surgery again, get the ileostomy back again, then have a J-pouch surgery again. But instead, so originally when I had the J-pouch surgery, it was laparoscopic. He had to cut me open for this one.
So you're going through the trilogy again.
Once again.
I know we made that joke, but that was like a Star Wars where you have the first three.
This three was the best three. It was
this
great.
This
was a new hope through.
Okay, gotcha.
It was great.
Six. Return to the Jedi.
And I was honestly happy to have the ileostomy again because I loved it so much after what Andrew, like, the impact he gave on my life.
Yeah. So and are you thinking about him like as you're going through this process?
Yeah, because I had ileostomy nurses again who were great at NYU, who were awesome. But like part of me was like, I wish like Andrew was here because you know he was just the best.
Yeah.
And but the team was amazing at NYU where they were so loving, giving, caring. They were so efficient in everything. They were like a well-oiled machine. Nothing went wrong with my care there at all in any of those surgeries. They were just on top of their game. But
what's the time period you had to go through it again?
So I had the first of the trilogy, the new trilogy, in July 15, 2020. Exactly. Okay. One of my best friend's birthdays, too. Amanda.
I remembered yours.
She's great.
Damn it.
I'm just giving you shit for this now.
I know. It's terrible.
And then the second one. Okay, this is going to be crazy. But before I tell the date, I met Andrew's family before the second one, but I delayed the surgery. So it was supposed to be originally January of 2021. But I wanted to push it back because I was really tired just from all these years of going through these health issues from my surgeries. It was the middle of COVID. And I said to my surgeon, I said, can we push it back? Because I'm tired and also I'm going to be in two of my best friends' weddings. Like two of my close friends are getting married to each other. I want to be in their wedding. So we push it to October.
The second surgery.
So then I'm like living life again, like as much as I can. But then the summer 2021 everything started to open up. I'm living life with an ileostomy, like just going out, having fun, coming to Hoboken a lot. And then I started to want to work in healthcare, started working at NYU in healthcare and finance, so which was awesome. But then before I say the second date of the surgery, it got delayed again because my surgeon, I think, was away. I think he went on vacation or something.
Oh, these doctors.
I know.
The nerve.
Did
he have a kid?
My life saved. No, just a. I don't remember. Was it? I think it was a vacation. I think. Don't quote me on it, but I think it was. Or he was going away for something. But he's a life-saving surgeon, so I give it to him.
Yeah, whatever. These doctors.
Oh, no. Wait, it wasn't. Okay, I take everything back. Okay, you know, I actually don't remember.
Yeah, I'd be so excited.
But I met Andrew's family.
Before the second surgery,
I met his child. I met his like wife at the time. God. And then his wife's mom. His wife's mom, yes.
Okay.
And that got delayed twice. And then the surgery, technically, so we had a third date. This was the third date for the surgery.
Okay.
And the...
So how long have you lived with an ostomy bag now?
Including the first round of it, this is in October. I think it was about, I think we're in like 2 years. Yeah, because it was 5 months from 2019 to 2020. Wow. And then from July 5th, 2020 to October 2021.
Yeah.
It's about like a year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, year and change. Oh, no, it's basically 2 years.
Right, okay.
Basically 2 years. That I'm like thinking sense. Math. So a year, I would say like a year and a half at this point. So all those dates got pushed back. I met them on October 17th. I had the surgery on October 19th, the day that Andrew
died. I lost my virginity. What? I did lose my virginity on October 19th. Yes, I did.
Oh my God.
Yours over mine. Yeah, yes.
October. You just opened up another conversation.
We're bringing it all back to me.
We're bringing it back.
Oh my God, so you had it on the day
that Andrew died.
Passed away. Oh my God.
So it was like he was looking over me.
Oh, wow.
That's the way I saw it.
And I was too, but I just didn't know.
Just over
I was
someone else.
Just over.
Taylor.
Oh my God.
Angie's in the room.
Oh, that's okay. She knows.
She knows. She knows it was on October 19th?
I doubt it, yeah. Oh, you did? You were there? Know? It was to her. No, it wasn't.
Was it?
I'm not a loser. No, we're getting away from the important fact, which is that you had the surgery on the anniversary of his passing.
Yeah, 3 years.
The 3 year anniversary of his
passing. And I met his family 2 days before that.
2 days before.
October 17th, which is like, I'm like, that can't just be like coincidence.
How did you meet? What was the context for that meeting?
I messaged her on Facebook in the summer 2021.
Summer 2021. Oh, wow. So you went out of your way to reach out to them.
Because, you know, in my gut, I was like, he would never know. But you know who could know?
Oh, that's really sweet.
His wife.
And they were at the TED Talk you gave, which we're going to get to in a little bit.
They couldn't make it. But I messaged her a whole thing. And she responded back to me. And then his mom responded back to me. And they said, we want to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I met them. And they were like the nicest family.
So you have the surgery. This is the second surgery yet?
Second surgery.
Okay.
Of the trilogy. And, you know, it was definitely the, I would say the roughest, because it was over five hours.
Nothing at this point has been rough.
Nothing was rough. Nothing was shitty
before. Nothing we've talked about. Nice.
Good. Yeah, and Nothing was shitty before. And it was definitely because I was like I was super disciplined with like working out and everything. So I'm like in the gym all the time.
Right.
And he cut like all my surgeries before were laparoscopic. He cut me open. It was a 6-inch incision from the belly button down.
Which is
to,
average.
It was average. Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It is that. No, I think average is like 5 now.
It went down?
It went down.
Obviously, we're not talking about incisions.
Yes.
Or are we? Maybe.
Maybe.
I hope it's
4. Rulers?
4 would be nice. Anyway, go ahead. What? Anyway, yeah. So they do the laparoscopic. Am I saying that right?
They did it before laparoscopic, but this time it was like he cut me open.
Okay, so he's...
My stomach is open. So it was definitely like a rougher surgery because he cut me open. Right. They had to give me epidural.
Would they give pregnant ladies?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had to give me an epidural because that's like how insane it was. Like, how painful.
Oh my God.
Like, it wasn't like, I wasn't, like, it was the most painful of all of them, but I tolerated it well, where I was like, oh, like, I'm just chilling.
My dog's here. So
Mabel, the Iron Lad.
She's going to be famous.
She's so cute.
You want to come on camera?
She's great.
She's the best.
Maple's the best name for
the
a dog.
The Iron Lad.
She is an Iron Lad.
Well, she's had, because Maple, you have been with us. She's had a bunch of... My dog just walked in camera, for those listening. On Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spotify.
Has had a ton of stomach surgery as well. So in theme with this episode...
More related.
She has... You both share an Iron Lad. Oh, my God. Please don't move the camera. Okay. You guys are cousins. So, okay. And that's nice. She's showing her butthole to the camera, which is nice.
Oh,
that's good too.
We have the same butt.
She just in theme with butts. She just we had to express her anal glands for the first time last night, and that was you talked about
glands.
The smell so bad that it was putrid and made you throw up on sight.
Yes,
really. I will never look at that dog the same way again. I love her with all my heart, but oh my God.
She's still your daughter.
She is, but I didn't know she was capable of making sense like that. The human body is truly amazing.
You could use a secret weapon now.
I could honestly, if anybody comes in my house, I'm just going to spray them with whatever she's got
so
going on.
So instead of
back
a
there.
Skunk, you just have anal glands.
It's just anal glands from Maple.
Maple, she use the anal glands. It's like a Pokemon.
Oh, God.
Maple, use anal glands.
Ew. it does no damage, but really is bothersome to everyone in the room. Okay, so where were we before she walked in?
I had the surgery, and then it went really well, and I went home, recovered, and then had my last surgery in March of 2022.
And now, March 2020, you're in the recovery room, and you can go to the bathroom normally now.
It's like more normal now. So it's like I go a little bit more often.
Okay.
So to go back, when my surgeon in between this whole entire time, my doctor diagnosed me with Crohn's-like pouchitis. So I do have a Crohn's-like pouchitis where it's not Crohn's disease specifically, but my J pouch acts as if it's like Crohn's. So I am on a biologic that I take to like help suppress it.
Okay.
So one of the things also just with me specifically, I like have to take Metamucil all the time.
Right.
So
which is that just to help keep everything regular?
Yeah, so it helps keep everything regular where it bulks up my stool so I don't have like water coming out of my body.
Right. Okay.
So
are you still able to like pass stool?
Yes.
Okay.
I gotcha. Go more often.
More often, okay.
But I have to take Metamucil.
Like constantly.
Every meal, which I don't mind at all because it tastes...
Yeah, I've had it. It's not good. Yeah. I've honestly...
It tastes like orange juice.
Yeah, I've had it. And do you use the powder or do you like take it in pill form?
Oh, powder.
Yeah, powder.
Powder, because if I need a little bit more.
Yeah, you can just do that.
I'll take more. People take wafers.
Oh, interesting.
There's like cookies.
Metamucil cookies?
There's Metamucil cookies.
Gotta bring those to the next holiday event I go to.
What holiday event are you going to?
Oh, well, you're not invited.
But. Why didn't you? Was you well, you're clearly inviting me right now.
No, I can't invite you now. No, we're going to, because this is pre 2025 and this will be released, we're going to a New Year's Eve party. When are we? That's an interesting way to hold the mic.
I know, it's just crazy.
We're going to a New Year's Eve party with Taylor's friends.
Oh, nice.
That if we were in control of the invite list, we would love for you to come, but unfortunately, we're not. We're not just saying that. This is really...
And she's...
Everyone knows...
Her friends are grand.
I forgot... Her friends are grand. But I forgot your birthday now, and now I'm not inviting you to New Year's Eve party, so I'm just a crappy friend.
Shitty friend. Well, actually, crappy, too.
Crappy and shitty. Really, just any sort of poop you can come
Anytime
up with.
Anytime, poop.
But, okay. So, now, you just gave... So, you went through this entire experience of over 2 years? 2 or 3 years total?
Three... Five... So, I was diagnosed... When I had the symptoms, it was April 2018. When I had my final surgery, March 2022.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
Four years
you went through this.
Yeah.
You come out the other side, and now you give... Stop it, you.
Yeah.
You devil. So, now, you just gave a TED Talk at NYU, which was incredible. I watched it. Is it public yet, or no, we still can't share
it? It's not going public.
It's not going public, people, so you'll just have to take my word on it that it was amazing and excellent, and you invited all these people to come. Taylor and I were not invited. I just want that on record.
I wanted to invite you. I was limited.
Limited in seats, but that's totally fine. I think you invited your mail carrier, which was fine, honestly. I guess we're not as close as you and your mail carrier. But
who's my mail carrier?
I don't know, but you told me that you invited them, so...
Who's mail carrier? Oh, my mail carrier. Yeah, I thought you meant like mail as in like a mail figure.
Oh, no, no. Not as in someone who carries mails. No.
Oh.
That was a stupid joke. This is really dumb. This is why I'm still working during the day as a comedian.
That's great.
But so you did this incredible TED Talk. You've been on podcasts talking about awareness of this. And man, my favorite thing about you is just anybody that knows you, and I'm sure people could have guessed from the podcast, is you have such this, it's incredible outlook on life, and you're so positive all the time, truly to the point where, like, if I'm having a down day, I do think to myself, you know, like, what would Matt say in this situation? Was that your takeaway through, like, going through all this? Is it just, because I know we talked about Andrew, how he's influenced you.
The biggest takeaway for me is that I, throughout those years, you know, beforehand, I had a low opinion of myself, and I think it had to come with, like, you know, things I've been through in my life, and then, like, why is this happening to me? I turn it around, and I can use this for, like, good, not only bad, but it taught me to embrace my body. Like, no matter, because there's things just you're not going to control about your body, but there are things, like, certain things you can control, like, you know, eating well. You know, being with a dietitian was huge, and then going to the gym and being super disciplined.
Right, and I want to talk about that because you are incredibly disciplined at the gym. I've worked out with you once or twice because I couldn't keep up, and no, that's not true. But I work out too sometimes. Not really, not nearly as often as you. Stop it, you. So you have this incredible work ethic with your workout. You're so regimented and disciplined, and you're fucking jacked, man. These pictures on Instagram you're posting, thirst traps for days. It's incredible.
Just for you.
I hope so.
Sorry, Taylor. Not really.
I know it's not just for me. It's for the ladies out there. But is that now when you work out, is it a form of you kind of taking control of your body again? And you know what I mean? Like, does that resonate at all?
Yeah, because it's, you know, I never want to go back to that place where I was at 101 pounds where I don't, like, I couldn't control that at all, where my body was just attacking itself so much. But now I'm in a state where I have a lot of control. I can control my discipline and how I am at the gym, what I want to work on, and just feeling good about myself. Because I like to focus on my physical health a lot, but it's also mental too. Because when you're at the gym and you're working out, you feel like I felt the best of myself I've ever been in my life. Like, I
like, not to, like, kind of, like, showboat, but there was one point during the summer 2022 where I looked in the mirror and I said, holy shit, I am fucking jacked. And I...
How dare you?
And I was like, I was like, I'm such a piece of shit.
It's ridiculous.
And
is this a harbor? Because this boat, too big.
No.
That's not funny.
Literally.
God.
We're trying here.
We're trying, man. We're good. We're trying.
I'm laughing, though.
I mean,
I'm laughing.
Taylor's grimacing and wondering why she was ever with me to begin with.
She's like, why do I live with him?
She's like, yeah, why do we have a dog together?
Yeah.
That's literally adorable.
Anal glands. Oh, she's
anal
so cute.
Oh, she's adorable, man.
She's so cute.
But so now, yeah, so you're absolutely jacked now. You're so regimented into your routine. You eat, you have, like, going back to, I know we were talking about, like, very structured diets. You eat, like, incredibly disciplined.
Yeah.
Like, don't you eat, like, the same thing every day?
I am very disciplined with that. I learned from my dietitian how to eat, really. Like, just not only how to eat more well, but, like, what works for me. Because everyone with IBD is different. Some people can have gluten, but can't have dairy. And
right.
vice versa.
Yeah.
Some people can have dairy, not gluten.
Yeah, it must
everyone's
be very
different.
Specific to the body. Yeah.
It's very specific. That's why I recommend everyone to work with a dietitian.
Right.
I think for me, blissfully, I can have basically anything. There are certain things that make me go a little bit more, but it's not like I'm in the bathroom all the time.
Right.
I just have to make sure I have Metamucil. But in terms of like staying and feeling good about myself, I eat like very structured during the week. And the weekend, I will more than half the time eat like an asshole.
And for me, again, as someone who's never gone through this, but I love the stuff you're posting because it's what I eat in a day, like without a colon. And it's like what I ate in a day, like at this wedding. And it's regular stuff. You're still enjoying a lot of the regular food that like someone like me would enjoy who hasn't had this experience. So it's really hopeful to people going through this that they can still live a normal life.
Because that's the thing where I want to show where, you know, for me specifically, I'm blessed and I really am privileged to have the ability to eat a lot of the foods that some people can't have. Like I, you know, do show a lot of the kind of I do show. It's a lot of food that I normally don't eat like consistently, but I want to show people that me personally and like other people with IBD can safely do in like a structured manner. Like they should learn how to with like a dietitian in order to like learn how to build up themselves to those foods, which I have. But it's like it people can do it. I can do it. And because there was a point where like I wanted nothing more than like a cheeseburger or something like that. Not all the time, but it's important that like you can have the freedom to have those foods. Or have something that, like, you would like to have that's really enjoyable. Because I love food so much. Like, I used to go to Chipotle and eat two burritos from there. And do I still do that? No. But, like, I just have, like, three Smashburgers. But anyway, from 7th Street. But it's
can you
it's
still
important.
Have Chipotle?
What's up?
Can you still have Chipotle?
Oh, I can.
Oh, nice. Okay. But just in, like, moderation, you mean? Like,
I still eat a lot, personally, because it doesn't, personally, like, for me, I'm okay to eat a lot.
Right.
I just need to make sure I have a lot of Metamucil.
Yeah.
But I show people that, like, people with IBD, if it's, you know, if you're right with the right care team, if you take the proper precautions with, and you're in a better state with, you know, knowing what works for you and what doesn't, like, you have the freedom to eat certain foods.
And have you, so I know you're also going around to these, I know we didn't call it a conference in the beginning, we called it where was it in Austin you went to?
It was, so it was like kind of like a retreat, like a patient advocate retreat with the Infusion Access Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great patient advocate organization. They're fantastic, and I've worked with them a few times. And we went down there to learn more about patient advocacy and as well as record our stories and how certain laws have affected our health.
And you've been active in the lawmaking process as well. Didn't you go to Washington, D.C.?
Went to D.C. in 2023.
You didn't make it to the U.N., but you made it to D.C.
We made it to D.C.
That's incredible.
We made it to D.C. at the end of the day. We talked to legislative aides and assistants on certain laws that we wanted to fight for reform. So one of them is like Step Therapy Act, for example. So we talked about how like step therapy affected me.
What is step therapy?
So step therapy is a law where, so for insurance, say for example, it's a theory of medicine. So say someone gets diagnosed with like a disease like ulcerative colitis. You start at the medication that's like the lowest amount of side effects. Not only that, has less like that isn't like strong, but also in terms of we're talking about insurance, not as costly. Mm. So then if you fail that, you move up to the next step.
Oh, so in other words, you have to try everything.
You have to try everything. So say like step 10 is Remicade. You can't go from step 1 and skip. You can't skip up to step 10.
Interesting.
You have to go to step 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right. And they, okay.
Because insurance companies will not cover you going to Remicade.
And that's a problem because obviously if some patient needs Remicade.
So yeah. My mom said at one point while I'm trying all these medications, in the beginning stages, she said to my doctor, why can't he go on Humira? And my doctor said he will not get covered by his insurance. So potentially, maybe if I was on a biologic like earlier in my life, maybe I wouldn't have gone through the hell that I would have gone through. We don't know. But, yeah, but other patients to go through the type of hell that I'm going through, that's what we were fighting against. Other gotcha. Pediatrics myself.
And what's the progress on that? Did you guys, did it, is it still just you?
Still in there.
It's the government.
It's the government. Yeah. It's I'm hoping one day for something, you know, because, you know, it's tough with these insurance companies too, because some of these medications are incredibly expensive without insurance.
Yeah.
With insurance, I'm on Stelara. One shot is with insurance. And a copay card, $5. Without it, thousands, tens of thousands for one shot.
Yeah.
It is insane to stay, like, have a quality of life.
Yeah.
So that's what we fight against.
Yeah. No, and that's wonderful. And again, you're spreading awareness. Are you working with any patients, like, individually helping them through this, like with Andrew? What Andrew did?
I thought about going the nurse route for a little bit. I don't know if I would ever go that route, but that's why I wanted to work in healthcare. Instead, I was going on the government administration route, getting my MPH on J, but then I pivoted to healthcare. So now I work in finance at NYU, Langone.
Right.
And it's great working there. But, you know, it's nice to be a part of, like, the industry, at least, like, the hospital that gave me my life back.
Yeah, and I think it's incredible what you've been able to do just to come back, man. I mean, to go through, I know we jokingly refer to it as like the trilogy, but to go through it once, to being told, hey, I know you did that already, but we're going to have to do it again, and to still come out the other side, just to have this positivity and vibrancy for life that you have is something I admire. And I mean, I think it's wonderful that you're out there just, you know, telling your story at these TED Talks, at these patient advocacy groups. I mean, like, what's next for you in terms of what you want to do? Hint, hint, write the book. Say, write the book that I've told you I want you to write 5,000 times.
As long as we've been friends, he's been telling me to write a book. I would like to write a book.
If you're still listening, they would buy it. So.
Yeah, I really should start writing that book. Yeah. I would love, so I...
We'll have you back on the pod. We'll do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to... I said this before. I would love to write a kid's book.
Oh, I love that for you. You're perfect for that.
I love to write a kid's book about a kid getting an ostomy.
Less pages, too.
Less pages, less work.
Everybody should write the children's
book. You know, like Daisy
book.
Do from The Bachelorette? No,
oh,
Bachelor.
Do we know Daisy?
She's amazing.
She's incredible. I'm happy Joey and Kelsey found love.
Yeah.
But do I love
She's
Daisy?
She's incredible.
She's incredible.
She's
she wrote
so
a kid's book.
She's so... She wrote a kid's book.
Taylor's nodding off camera.
She's just... Because she's incredible. Daisy's incredible. And she wrote a kid's
book. Oh, yes,
book.
And she's deaf. She
wrote a kid's book about cochlear implants.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you could do this with IBD.
So I
want to
do, like, something similar with IBD.
I love
and a kid
that.
Being, like, accepted with, like, a...
Oh, my God, we'll do a reading here at the bookstore.
Oh, man.
Hell,
I'm
yeah.
Get this
we should. Oh, my God.
That's the... I think that will be the next one. I would love to do another TED Talk because, unfortunately, that one isn't going public. It can't because it was an internal TEDx event with NYU.
And it's such a great TED Talk. It's so good.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, very well done.
So I would
love
to
do another
one.
I think we cried. Yeah.
Oh, I love seeing people cry.
I know.
I love to see the tears. I'm like, I did a good job.
It's like, I know.
I did it. I did it. I did emotion. But that's like the next step, I think, where I would love to do that and just keep my... I think, like, I stopped... It definitely took a hit when it couldn't spread awareness. Like, I couldn't release the TED Talk because that hurt because that was, like, that was a dream of mine
yeah,
to do. A
I
dream.
Know.
And for people to, like, hear that TED Talk of what they're going through with IBD, having the surgeries and getting an ostomy, you know, there's not something else there like that that could really help, like, bring a platform to people that listen to it. So that was hard. Now getting back into doing the TED Talk, like doing the TikToks again,
yeah,
doing that and spreading more awareness, keeping up with that, and then doing a TED Talk again.
I think
that you will be invited to.
Oh, I freaking better.
You'll be the first person I tell. You and Taylor will be the first people I tell.
We may not come because we're still salty about the first time. So we.
What if I give you front row seats?
That's different. Okay.
I'll give you front row seats.
I'll be in.
I will give you front row seats.
No, it's okay. Oh, my God. You're, like, hurt by this. It's okay.
No, I am, all right. I wanted to.
We will come. Numbers. It's okay.
I was listed off. I was basically spin the wheel. I was like, no.
Spin the wheel. Well, this is great, man. I think, is there anything else? I mean, what's your message for someone who's maybe listening and going through, whether it's, you know, something from IBD or, you know, something, a medical issue now? I mean, what's your advice for them?
Embrace your body. That's the biggest thing that I tell people, where it's if they're going through like a surgery, like having an ostomy bag, and their body's fighting against themselves and they're not in control, embrace what you can control and embrace your body. Like, that was the message I did in the TED Talk, where it's embrace your body, no matter your height, your weight, your hair, your scars, and that doctors are here to save lives, not colons.
We're making t-shirts.
Yeah, that's the biggest takeaway, because as long as you can do that, you have a better outlook on it and you develop that more confidence in yourself.
I think it's beautiful. Matt, where can they follow you?
Matty Bowles on Instagram and TikTok.
That's fantastic, man. Dude, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime.
You're my iron lad.
Listen, that iron lad over there with that tummy of steel after surgeries and all that. So, listen, you're a great friend and even better human being. So, thanks for doing this.
Well, I appreciate your support as always, my friend. Always one of the biggest supporters.
Always. All right, that's it. We did it. No, I think it's cheesy. Do you want to hear the line? What is it? It's
Whoa, my ears now.
I know, it's weird, right? Oh, I can't scream. What if I do podcast checklist? Here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
Oh, wait, I like that.
You do? Is it stupid?
I think it fits in well with like the theme of this
one. All right, we'll do here's to hoping we left you a little higher.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right.